You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. Welcome to another edition of the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, your host, and I'm really looking forward to this episode. I've been looking forward to it for a while. We've been playing scheduling tag with it with my guest, but I'm super excited to have Tom Toombs on there, otherwise known as Little Tommy, and maybe we'll get Little Tommy to come out and play in a few moments. But Tom, welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's great to finally meet with you on this podcast.
Yeah, we are so glad to have you on. And like I said, maybe a little Tommy will come out and play with us here in a few, because you have a ministry. Let me just, instead of me telling, why don't you tell about yourself and what you do and where you are at this point?
All right. Well, the fast version is, and every time I get picked up in the car, I answer the same question, you know, how do you get started? Why are you doing this? I got saved in 1976 in Southern California, and the pastor of the church that I was at did magic, puppets, and balloons. And he had a side ministry, and when I got saved, I was already doing magic tricks and stuff, so he kind of took me under his wing and discipled me and helped me to get my testimony together with a few magic tricks and balloons and things like that. And we would go do senior adult luncheons, and he would start and introduce me. I would get up and do one trick, tell my testimony, sit down, and then he would finish it out. And afterwards, all these older people would come, pinch my cheeks and say, "Oh, that was sweet, and you're so cute." And I would say, God, this is kind of fun. I could do this forever." And he said, "I hope you like this because you're going to be doing this forever." But basically, all through college, high school and college, I worked. I did vacation Bible schools. I did speaking at different youth events. I spoke for 300 Boy Scouts when I was only 12.
Wow.
So God has been preparing me each step that I'm in. He's preparing me for the next step. And of course, in college, I studied drama, speech, drama, and broadcasting with a minor in Spanish. And I was in several plays and musicals and actually wrote shows. Then my first church job was a youth and children position in Florida in 1986. And we developed one of the Salty Sing-Along-A-Thon, Maranatha Marathon, Hallelujah Jubilee presentation that we did at several campgrounds and other churches and even senior retirement homes. But I did all the blocking and choreography for that, 1986. And then 1987, I was a minister of youth and children at a church in Atlanta. And was in a situation where I felt like I needed to go back to seminary after 1 year. So I went back to seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And at the end of that year, I thought, what am I going to do for the summer? And I saw in my mailbox a thing about being a chaplain at Dollywood Theme Park. And I thought, that sounds like me. So I interviewed with it, and I became the first chaplain at Dollywood Theme Park for 5 years, going back and forth between seminary and the field. And after that, I started doing evangelism. Using all the gifts that God had given me, because when I was a missionary and chaplain at Dollywood, I did a street ministry where I did magic and juggling and balloons and mime and all kinds of stuff on the street, working with the team. And then we would disperse after getting a crowd of people and disperse in the crowd and share our testimonies and why we're there and things like that. So, I met a friend at seminary who also juggled, played guitar, ate fire, and did drama. And so we were a team in 1990. We moved to Nashville to start doing evangelism full-time. And he was a missionary at the 1988 Calgary Olympics, and I was a missionary in Gatlinburg and doing the chaplaincy thing with Smoky Mountain Resort Ministries. So all of my home mission board and home missionary friends and all of his foreign missionary friends, and so we moved to Nashville to do this full-time. And we wrote and performed at state evangelism conferences and many church camps, vacation Bible schools, and all that. And that was in 1990. And so we were a partnership for almost a year. until September. I went back to see some of my friends at Dollywood, and the guy that was over all of entertainment, his name was Michael Pageant. His dad was a pastor in Nashville, but he was over all of entertainment. And he said, "What are you doing now that you're not the chaplain at Dollywood?" And I told him I was doing evangelism, going doing camps, vacation Bible schools, speaking at churches and major conferences. Uh-huh. And he said, "That's awesome." He said, "Well, in your travels, if you see a good children's show that we could do for Christmas, a family and children's show that we could do at Christmas at Dollywood, let me know." So I went back home, and one day I wrote one. And I went back and gave it to them, and they were looking at that time at 16 scripts, and most of them were published works from all over the world, literally. And he said, "If we choose yours, would you be in it?" And I said, "Yes." And so he weeded it down to 8, called me back a few months later, he weeded it down to 4, he weeded it down to 2, and mine was still in it. He said, "Man, if we choose yours, would you still be in it?" And I said, "Sure." So I left my partner to go back to Dollywood, and I was a performer. So we ran my show. It was the number one rated show the second year. We ran 3 years. So I was working at Dollywood and traveling to churches, speaking at churches, performing and all that. So I've been doing since 1990. I've been doing full-time evangelism, and then excluding a couple of years, I worked at Dollywood and honing in on my skills as a performer, but my first love is ministry. So I use all the skills: magic, mind, juggling, balloons, comedy, drama, unicycling, fire eating, music, and all that. But that's just tools to present the gospel. So if I didn't have any of those things, I'm still a minister and evangelist at heart. But I know that using those things really gets the attention of the kids and adults. And it also gets makes pictures that they won't forget. It's not just somebody speaking. It's, you know, it's a creative way to get their attention, but it also makes illustrations that will last a lifetime. And one of the things that I've done was work with the Billy Graham Evangelical Association on several events. You know, they do the crusade where they do the children's event, mm-hmm. and then they do a youth event, and then they do adult events, you know. And but I've been able to do the children's event. I've also opened for great bands like everything from Tadashi and several like DC Talk and Chris Tomlin and Ren Collective and several, you know, yeah. Third Day. So it depends on if it's a youth event or a children's event. But I'm an evangelist. I minister to children, to youth, to adults, grandparents, anybody. But using those things, and I really have a heart for children because they're important to Jesus, they're important to God, so they're important to us. Right. And, you know, whoever gets the children owns the future.
Yes.
And the future of our church is so important. So I would encourage whoever's listening, if they're a children's pastor, man, you're on the front lines. Because, you know, I started with senior adults and did high school ministry, but children are the front lines because they're the most important. And that's who the enemy's fighting for,
yes.
So that's who we need to fight for. And so I got a promotion to the front lines of children's ministry.
Uh-huh.
So that's basically how I got to where I am right now. And at my last church, I just resigned as children and family pastor in March. So and I was there for 5 years. So I'm still into it. I'm actually looking for another church position that I can help locally and as I travel and do my evangelism at the same time.
Yeah. Wow. That is so awesome. I love your story. And it's so cool to see how God just continues to give you more and more tools that you can use so that you can speak to, like you said, to pretty much anybody.
Right. And I never dreamed that I would write books. That wasn't a thing I dreamed about. But somebody saw me on tour, and a publisher came to me and said, "Have you ever thought about writing children's books?" So now I have 5 published children's books, and I have an author page on Amazon. But actually, you know, when I graduated high school, I graduated on a 6th grade reading level. So I was one of those people that had trouble in school, and always had extra tutors and things like that. School was not fun to me, but But now I've written 5 books for children and for people that you can get online. They're on 30,000 online retailers. So Amazon, you can even download it from iTunes.
Okay. Well, we're going to make sure we get that info at the end of the podcast, because we definitely want people to go check that out.
Yeah,
we're
definitely.
We're going to share that on the little bit of show notes that we do. We'll make sure that we try to get a link on there so that people can go directly to that. So that is very, very cool. Well, before we talk about a little bit about why I think people ought to think about having somebody like you come in, can little Tommy come out and play a little bit? I mean, is he around? Is he hanging around?
It's early here.
I know. I know it's early for him. And,
yeah, let's see if I can get it.
It's Saturday Eve, but.
You know what? I got up, but I was playing with my toys, and then I just came in here because I saw you talking to the big people.
Yeah, well, little Tommy, it's good to see you. Thanks for coming in. I'm talking to Big Tom right now, and my name's Tom too. Isn't that cool? We got 3 Toms.
I know. I see. Well, I'm Tommy, little Tommy, but I can see your picture on his phone.
That's good. So little Tommy, what do you do?
I like to play with my toys and tell people about Jesus. Ooh. Because and you know what? Guess what?
What?
Guess what? I went to another country called El Salvador, and all the people speak Spanish, so I got to do my whole show in Spanish for the first time ever.
Wow, you know Spanish, and you can do a show?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome. And I got to do church service at this Spanish church and everything.
Wow. Do you do magic tricks and stuff too, or?
Yeah, well, in my toy box, I have this coloring book that you can color, but you don't have to color it because it just colors magically. Mm-hmm. And I have other magic tricks like my ropes and things like that, but they all tell people about Jesus.
Wow.
And that's the most important part.
I was going to say, why is he your favorite subject to talk about?
Because Jesus loves all the children, and you're a man.
Yeah.
But he loves everybody too, and because Jesus can save your life.
Oh, he sure can. He sure can. And I'm so glad that you go around and tell kids and us big people too about it, because we all need to hear about him for sure.
That's right. And I like to do I know a joke.
You do. Oh, all right.
Because I bet you don't know what the ocean said to the beach.
What's the ocean say to the beach? Nope.
Nothing. He just waved. And my preacher at my church, he told me a joke in the Bible. And it goes, I bet you don't know what the insurance man said to Adam and Eve. I can see you're not covered. Get it?
Wow. Oh, okay, Tommy.
And little Tommy can say stuff that I can't say, and sometimes it's a little, in your face, and sometimes you get it afterwards, and people will be laughing, and like one of the comments that was given back to the Billy Graham Evangelical Association after one of our events was a grandmother, and she wrote, you know, I was very skeptical at first when I heard that this was going to be for all ages, that my grandchildren and me would both get something out of it.
Yeah.
But after seeing the event, I couldn't believe that we were laughing together and we were crying together at the end.
Wow.
And she said there was something truly for all ages.
Oh, that's
I think that's the biggest gift from God that I have, is being able to communicate the gospel in a very simple way, but a very profound way, to where children can understand it, but it can also challenge adults and grandparents. Yeah. So it's some of the things is using the illusions, or maybe juggling, or balloons, or maybe a monologue, or even a mime testimony, because I have my testimony in pantomime. It really speaks to different ages. I've done it through the years. You know, I counted up, if I averaged 10 weeks at camp a summer for 30 years, that's 300 camps I've been to, eating camp food and sleeping on those beds. But but literally millions of people in urban settings, in schools, in prisons, same thing, schools, prisons, and on beaches, in shopping malls. Right. All over. So, if I'm open one night and just not busy, I might just go to the mall and start doing magic tricks and share the gospel. Just walking around the mall. So, I mean, it's something I do. It's not something that I get paid to perform to do.
Yeah.
But I love to partner with other ministries and go, and I might say the same thing that you would say, Tom, to your children, but it's a different person. And it's a different method, but it's the same gospel. It's the same gospel.
Yeah, and that's a great lead into my question for you, because I know there's some people out there, and we have a lot of small church listeners.
Right.
And I mean, obviously, that's what the majority of churches today in our country are. But so there's a lot of people that are intimidated by saying to bring in somebody like yourself. So how can you kind of explain the process of how you would consider bringing somebody in, and why would you encourage them to look at somebody like you to bring in? Because I know you travel all over the place and you speak in a variety of audiences, sizes, and I know for you size doesn't matter, but just, kind of give somebody some ideas of how even a small church could bring somebody like yourself in.
Right. I have a size. It isn't really important, because there may be one person there that's the next Billy Graham. Who knows? You know, I've spoke for 23,000 high school kids at the same time in Reunion Arena, and I've spoke for 10 or 12 people at different events. So it doesn't matter to me. But the process is fairly easy. If you're considering doing an event, well, there's different kinds of events. If you want to do an outreach event, that's really what I like to do. And what I've discovered is that over the years, I could go in and do school assemblies on, say, Thursday and Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, and I can do three school assemblies in a day. And it's a government-approved school assembly about character counts, and basically it's biblical principles. But I can do it, character counts, and if you go to the character counts website, it says that civic clubs, businesses, schools, and churches all come together to teach kids character. Okay? So we can go in, and I'll do school assemblies, and this is a great outreach, because what we do is pass out tickets to a big event that's going to be held at your church, and I'll do the school assemblies, and they'll see me do little Tommy and juggling and stuff, and you say, hey, man, would you guys like to go see little Tommy again? Yeah, well, come to our church on this night, and we're going to have free prizes, and you can see little Tommy do this famous high wire act or something like that, and then you say to the schools, you come and say, we're going to pay for it. It's normally $500, but we're going to pay for it. But just between me and you, I'll do the schools for free just to get them to come to your church. So, but it gives a value to it. You tell the principal, hey, man, these are $500. It's a school. Go to the website. You can see this is a government-approved thing. It's going to be awesome. He does comedy and all that kind of stuff. As long as we can pass out tickets or promote our event that we're going to have at our church, we'll do it for free. And awesome. then you go to the business. This is like Walmart, and say, look, man, we're going to the schools, we're hosting it at the church, you're a business, what do you want to donate? And so, for the first time in 25 years, I've been doing this for like 25 years, but last year, we did it where I was on both sides. I was the children's pastor, and I was the person going into the schools. But what I did was, and we also had the lads and Skadoodles, Tim and Manicles come in too. So, but I did both sides of it. So I can walk you through. I have all the templates. I have all the tickets, all the flyers, the website for it to give to the schools, to give the thing to give to the businesses. But we had over 2,000 prizes donated because we said, we're going into the schools. We're going in. We're hosting it at the church. Your business, what do you want to donate? And Walmart gave a bicycle. We said, if we buy a bicycle, will you donate a second one? Yeah. So we bought one. So we gave three bicycles away. Wow. We paid less than $100 for the bikes, for all of them. Then we went to Target and said, Walmart gave two bicycles. What do you want to give? And they gave it an iPod. So, I mean, everybody started giving. Restaurants gave stuff. Chick-fil-A gave 25 kids meals and 25 adult meals. So we had over 2,000 products. So when we went to the school assemblies, we rode out two of the bicycles and set them out there and said, "You guys want to see little Tommy again? Yes! Well, come, it's free, and somebody's going to take away this bicycle. Somebody's going to win these bicycles." So we go to all the schools, pass out the tickets, and the kids were pumped that night. It was the largest event that my church had. We had about 300 on Sunday morning, and we had over 600 people that night at our back-to-school family fun night rally. We had a lot of kids that never came before. And what we did is pass out cards. You know, we had blue cards for the kids and white cards for the adults. So when they register, and so when at the end of the event, you know, when they checked, I received Christ, or I'm a member of another church, or I want more contact, you know, pray for me, whatever. We took up the white ones in one box and the blue ones in another, and we had grown-up prizes and that were white, and then kid prizes like the bicycles that were blue, and it was a great event. And so when someone like me comes in, your numbers increase because I'm a special guest from out of town, and that's why you want to do it. But really, I will work with any budget. You know, like I said, I grew up in a church that only had 100 people, so I want to minister. I know there's somebody out there could be the next me. I mean, and I've been doing this for a long time, or somebody out there could be the next Billy Graham. I don't. Yeah. It's not the numbers that is important to me. I will work with any budget on this. So, it's important to have somebody different saying the same thing and to partner with you. And what I do when I'm there is I always point people back to you. Yeah. So I make you look good, and I make you look like, man, listen to this guy. When I leave, this guy's going to still be here, or this girl, this lady is still going to be here when I leave. And what it does is also you become the chaplain of the school. I found this out when I did this, when I did both sides of it here last August, because a principal called me and said, "Hey, you guys, you know, you're the one that brought that guy, or actually, you were the guy that came in. I've got a kid that's having problems. Would you mind coming and talk with him?"
Yeah.
And so, even after I leave, you get that kind of stuff because you become, you're the contact. It builds great rapport with the schools.
Sure.
And it builds great rapport with the businesses. Now I can go to Walmart, and that guy, we wrote thank you notes, and I got templates for all that. I mean, everything from start to finish. On the back to school thing, I can give you, I've got a packet that has everything in it, even from the thank you notes to give back to the people that donated stuff to Walmart and stuff. So I can walk into Walmart, and the owner, the main manager of Walmart here, he sees me come in and says, "Hey man, how'd that event go?" You know, so like, we have a contact with Walmart, we have a contact with Chick-fil-A now, we have, you know, Target, and with the schools. It's a great idea. And it really increases your your numbers of people that have prospective, you know, children and stuff too.
And so we'll definitely make sure that people have a way to look at what you do and can contact you for this. And like I said, folks, you can. I mean, he's got everything that you need. And so I want to challenge our listeners to, if you're looking for a way to get into your community, to bridge that gap between church and the community, this is a great way to do it. Is to bring somebody
and
like
Tom. Like I said, we're a pretty small church, like 200-300 on Sunday morning. I mean, we're not a mega church by any means, but we had 600 at that one event, and it increased our ministry now because people see our people, and they know we're the ones that did that free back to school thing. Yeah. Where we went into the schools.
Yeah.
But that's just one type of event too.
Right.
I mean,
what are some
you
of the
might
other ones
do?
You do?
A promotion Sunday or back to school rally a different way at your church, or maybe you have a upward basketball program. I've done over 400 events of those. Or maybe one thing I like to do is go in and do a Sunday morning teaser and then do a Sunday night, you know, just a Sunday night special night for all ages.
Yeah.
Or I can do Sunday morning service where I just preach. I do Little Tommy first, then preach. Or do drama and make it a special Sunday. Whatever, you know, I can tailor make the events for whatever you have. Because, you know, I have lots of material. I go into a summer camp and do morning and night, morning and night, morning and night, five nights for an hour each time. So I have tons of material.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back to that same camp and do something all different next year. So I know I have like 15, 20 hours of material. My problem is being able to to do it in one night. So
yeah.
But it is fun for all ages and things like that.
That is so awesome. So thanks for sharing about that part, because I know I know that is a huge part of what you do. But like I said, you're out right now, and God's hopefully going to open a new door, or maybe there's a listener here that says, I'd like him as my children's pastor.
Maybe.
Get in touch with him while he's hot, real quick. I don't know. But you have been a kids pastor and a family pastor for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the lessons? Maybe what I love asking a lot of our seasoned leaders, because I can say seasoned.
Absolutely.
I've been in the game like you have. And when I get with a veteran or a seasoned ministry leader, I like to ask them, what are a couple questions, are some of the principles, key leadership principles that you've learned, some of the most like gold nugget things that if a younger leader were to come up and say, hey, what's one of your top two leadership things that you've learned, lessons? What would be one or two of those things that you've learned over the years that you think, man, this is something a younger leader needs?
Well, one principle that is absolutely sure is that you can't lead people to go somewhere where you haven't been. So the main thing is, you can't spill out and teach your kids unless you're full yourself.
Yeah.
So the main thing is that little red chair in my other room over there is where I meet with the Lord every morning. And if you're not full yourself and in the right place yourself, you can't pour into anybody else. That's the first principle.
Yeah.
The second thing is you've got to have good leadership around you. So I with me being able to do so many different things, early on in my ministry, it was easy for me to just say, well, let me just do it myself.
Yeah.
But that's what causes burnout.
Right.
And if you want to avoid that, I know you've heard that term burnout. Even if you're early in ministry, watch out for burnout. Okay, well, I'm scared to death. What's burnout? But if you try to do everything yourself, it will happen.
Sure.
No matter how full you are, you pour out and pour out. But what you really need to do, and I've learned the key, is discipleship. Mm-hmm. We're not called to make Christians by Christ. We're called to make disciples.
Amen.
And how you do that is finding volunteers that you can pour into. And all of my volunteers, I don't go to my volunteers and say, hey, I need your help, okay? Because they're already drained from every walk of life with children and their own and business and all that.
Right.
But I say, has anyone ever discipled you? And 9 times out of 10, people say, no one's ever discipled me. Like, all the way back when I got started, the pastor took me under his wing and discipled me, and that's how that's kind of how I do today. That was almost 40 years ago. Well, it was 42 years ago. But if you find volunteers and you go up to someone and say, can I disciple you? Can I work with you? Can I share with you? And what I want to do with them is I want to teach them and disciple them and pour into them so that they're so full they'll want to pour into my kids.
Yeah.
When I say my kids at church,
Yeah.
If I can be full myself and then pour that into disciple leaders, then they will want to pour that into my kids. They'll look for an outlet, and I'll say, now that I'm pouring into you, you need to find somebody to pour into. Well, actually, you don't have to find somebody. I've got somebody. If you'll come just on Wednesday nights and do this, I want to pour into you on Tuesday, so on Wednesday night you can pour this into the kids. Or I might meet with you on Monday at lunch, for 30 minutes. And in this modern day, I can also text them every day. I can text them a Bible story. I can text them a verse. How's it going? How can I pray for you today? Every day, they feel like I'm connecting with them every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So on Sunday, buddy, they're ready to pour it into my kids. They're not drained. They're full. So if I can get full myself with the Lord every morning and then pour that into leaders, then they'll want to pour into my kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I found over the years as the most important thing, to find good I hate to call them volunteers, but they're volunteers in the sense that they're using their gifts, for the Lord to teach children. But if I can pour into them and make them healthy, my kids will be healthy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, those are good, Tom. Those are real good. Okay, so let me throw another question at you then. Okay. So what do you think a healthy kid ministry looks like today? What are some of those critical things that you feel like need to be in place for a children's ministry to be in a healthy ministry, solid ministry?
That's a good question. That's a good question, and that can be very deep as well. But I'll just choose one too. I think healthy leadership and a good healthy communication between leadership, and then adequate number of people ministering together as a team. Like if you have an adequate number of volunteers so that you're not falling into doing it all yourself again, you know. And how do you get volunteers? That's the hardest part. But if you just go one-on-one to people and say, I want to pour into you, you know, would you be willing to let me work with, you know. So you're not asking them to give, you're asking them to receive.
Right.
And after they receive, then, so I think if that is across the board, I think you have a healthy atmosphere. If you have healthy leadership, good communication in between the leadership, mm-hmm. and then you have good, strong volunteers that are poured into, that they're not weak,
yeah.
then overall I think you'll have a healthy ministry. And I go into literally hundreds of churches a year,
yeah.
and I it's easy for me to be the fly on the wall. I mean, a lot of times people walk by and they don't even know I am. They don't even talk to me. I mean, as far as like deacons or right. elders or volunteers, yeah. you know, whatever. And so it's easy for me to see a church if it's healthy or not instantly. I can sort of right. tell by the way they sit in the audience.
Yep.
You know, you got all of one color people or all age people. All the old people sit here. Yep. The young people, you know, if they're separated or if there's a big gap in the middle, you can sort of see them instantly if there's if it's a healthy environment.
Yeah. Boy, that's good. That's good. Well, you know, and I'm glad that you said that what you did about pouring into people and being more interested in being for them instead of for what they can do for you.
Right. Yeah.
That sounds like it really bleeds through everything that you do is really communicating to people that you're valuable, and you're not valuable by what you do. You're valuable for who you are. As
that's
a brother
right,
and sister
right.
in Christ. I love
right.
that.
Right. You don't want to come up to somebody in a desperate state saying, I need you to help me. Volunteer. You know, nobody wants to do that.
No.
Nobody wants to be a part of the sinking ship.
Yeah.
You know, so, but if you come in a healthy way and say, man, can I pour into you? I just really feel like you have leadership qualities. Can I disciple you? And in turn, I think they'll want to help you back immediately.
That's really good. That's really good. Okay, Tommy, so let me ask, you've been in ministry for a decent amount of time like I have, and you know, one of the things that I've seen is a lot of leaders who get into ministry and they face some opposition or they have a little obstacle and they jump out or they become disillusioned. And, you know, I mean, there's thousands of reasons you and I know
right.
that people jump out of ministry. But what I'm seeing is, and what I've been praying for, is that God will continue to raise up a generation of leaders who are in it for the long haul. And so one of the things that I like to do when I get with veteran leaders is to ask them, what are some key principles that keep you going in ministry that have sustained you all these years? Because you've been through ups and downs too. You've been in good and bad places like I have. So what keeps you going? How do you stay in ministry for so long?
That's a great question because it has been 40 years, you know. Number one, I know for sure God has called me. Mm. So, you know, if God calls you, then, you know, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, you know. Practically, there's three reasons also. Number one, accountability.
Yep.
I've got a couple of pastors that have actually been in ministry longer than me that I still contact. They call me. One texted me actually last night. I talk with those pastors, and they keep me accountable to what I'm doing, and also advise me, and I get advice from them. So you want to look for somebody that's been in ministry longer than you,
mm-hmm.
kind of. To advise you and to encourage you to keep you on the right track, and then you want to look for a Timothy that's been in ministry less than you, kind of what you're doing now,
yeah.
and encourage them and advise them and teach them and also hold them accountable.
That's good.
And then I have a couple of prayer partners that guys that I meet with on a weekly basis, or one guy I've been meeting for 22 years. We meet 3 days a week, And we actually work out together, but then we pray together. And he calls me and texts me on the road, saying, "Hey man, how's the event going? You know, how can I pray specifically? And you know, like, what are you watching in the hotel? What are you doing? What are you reading? You know, and things like that." So accountability, but also prayer, support keeps me going. And then my family. I have three kids. One's 22, one's 20, and one's about to be 18. And so all three of them are on the right track. They're in ministry. They're seeking the Lord. They're having daily walks with Him. They are all in leadership positions. I could go on talking about them. I'm so proud of them. But I know that my family is behind me. They're supporting me. But they're also expecting for me to lead them and also to stay strong in the ministry. So, and my wife, of course, my wife is supportive of my ministry, always has been, and keeps me accountable and keeps me straight. So accountability, prayer partners, and my family, and just knowing with all three of those that God has called me into this ministry. Yeah. So there's really nothing else that I would rather be doing is sharing my faith with other people. And I really appreciate other churches have given me the opportunity to share my faith and use the gifts that God has given me to do that, whether it be in this country or abroad. I've been several different countries, and so that keeps me going. Just like when I go to Germany and do stuff for our military, for our troops, and for the kids, we go over to and do vacation Bible school for the troops. And I thank them for what they're doing because I know they're there. Yeah. People in ministry, you know, same thing with me. They keep me going by praying for me and just saying, "Hey, thank you. I know what you're doing. You're on the front lines of spiritual war." So, those things keep me going.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that because I think I hope that, all of our leaders, regardless of how long they've been in, I hope they'll consider, you know, do I have some of those things in place? Because I agree. I think those are all very, very critical principles that you need to have if you're going to be in ministry for any length of time. And so that's powerful stuff. Well, Tom, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with me for this episode. And I hope that people will check you out in your ministry and consider bringing you in for an outreach, to connect to the schools, Bible school, Upwards, all those kind of things. So how do they get in touch with you? How do they connect? Or if they have questions about ministry stuff and want to just chat about ministry?
Absolutely. I would love to just chat with ministry or brainstorm, give people ideas on different kinds of outreaches, but also inreaches. I do a lot of things where I do appreciation banquets for your volunteers.
Yeah.
And talk about the three people that made the biggest impact in my spiritual walk is my, you know, my kindergarten teacher, my youth, seventh grade teacher, and my youth pastor from when I was a kid. And she was a dental hygienist by day and a youth pastor by night. But I have two different websites. One is geared for children's ministry, and that is www.little-tommy.com. Little-tommy.com. Couldn't get Little Tommy because Tommy Hilfiger's children's clothes, but little-tommy.com. And then the one for youth, and like I'm juggling fire on my website, so I don't want children to kind of go to that one, but it is tomtombs.com, tomtoombs.com. And, of course, I'm on all the Facebook and Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and all those various things as well. But, yeah, just you can call me, text me. My number is 865. Which is the area code VOL, Vols, I'm right outside of Knoxville, VOL, 865-805-4267. And if you have an idea for an event, or you're thinking about having an event, or if you're having somebody else in and you just want ideas on how to do the event, I've seen both sides of it, because I've been the children's pastor who has people in, and I've been the person that goes in. Yeah. And several years for both of those. So, you know, whenever somebody has me for an Upward basketball thing, I always kind of give them ideas of what I've seen. I don't create these ideas. but I've seen a lot. I've just been around and seen a lot that works.
Yeah.
So, sure, I'll be glad to kind of help in any way with information, different curriculums. I'll also be teaching at the Kidman thing and INCM, Orange, CM Connect. I've been to all of those different events or all those different conferences.
Yeah.
So, I would love to just chat, encourage people to stay in what you're doing and just tell you how important you are to the ministry, how important you are to God and to children. They're important, and you're on the front line. So I want to encourage you and equip you the best I can. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I have been around and seen some other smart people, and I can tell you what they're doing. So,
Well, man, thank you so much for, you know, like I say, taking time out and for what you're doing for the kingdom. And I pray the Lord's blessing on you. And thanks for being on the KMC podcast with me.
Well, Tom, thank you for what you're doing, man. And I've known you, I guess you first saw me, or we first met over 20 years ago at a children's pastors conference of some kind. So thank you for what you're doing, helping people in children's ministry of all degrees of experience, and just encouraging everybody out there and equipping them. Thank you for what you're doing, man. Yeah. You're doing a great job. And you're a good friend.
Yeah, thanks, man. Definitely wish we were a lot closer, because I definitely need some brushing up on my magic tutoring. I'll have to get you doing some mentoring.
Well, I'm going to start doing more of that on my YouTube channel, because kids at camp, they're you know, I'm teaching them a few days at camp, and they're calling me back saying, how did we do that? So I'm going to start putting more of that on my YouTube site.
Cool. Awesome. Well, again, thanks so much for being on the podcast, and we really enjoyed this. I know it'll be a challenge to a lot of other leaders, so thanks again.
Well, thank you for asking me, man. It's a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.